Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
A story is told of a snowstorm that came through the Northeast, and I'm going to surmise that it was a nor'easter. We had some of them whenever we lived up in Pennsylvania, which literally means that a bunch of snow comes your way and you literally got to dig your way out. And a snowstorm came and an individual was out shoveling his driveway, and he was about halfway done when all of a sudden two young boys show up with shovels. And the little boys looked at him, and one of them said, "Sir, may we shovel your driveway?" And the other boy said, "Only $2. And the man looked at them with confusion, and he says, "Do you not see that I have a shovel and that I'm shoveling my drive myself and I'm halfway done?" And the boys said, "Well, sir, that's really where we get about half of our business." They get about halfway done and they're ready to quit. Have you ever been in a situation where that you wanted to quit? Where that you were just really and truly ready to give up? Let me remind you tonight that it was by perseverance that the snail made its way onto the ark. Amen. And as we look into the context of our lesson tonight, and we're going to be coming out of Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through verse 22, I want us to think about giving up and that it's always too soon to give up. We cannot give up. And as we think about the idea, the fact that God wants us to remain faithful and God wants us to persevere, and in our perseverance, we certainly will be able to prevail, is that God is there for us. And He tells us that time again in very explicit language, but friends, also God shows us through the life and workings of so many different ones. And tonight, we're going to be thinking about the Apostle Paul and the work that he was doing at Corinth and the message about it's always too soon to give up. As we think about the Apostle Paul and the work that he is engaged in here in Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through verse 22, he is at Corinth. And tonight, I want us to understand that it was not an easy task to begin a congregation at Corinth or to be a part of the church even at Corinth. And what we find, though, in regard to the Apostle Paul is that he left Athens, where that he had already dealt with a lot of Greek philosophers, people who thought that they were much wiser than him and others. And now he's come to Corinth. And what does he find whenever he's there at Corinth? He's dealing with probably about 220,000 people. That's a lot of people, especially whenever you go back to that time frame. And still, there would have been philosophers there, and they would have thought that they were all wise and the all-knowing. And yet, at the same time, Paul knew that his message was coming from God. And then in like figure, we understand from the location where Corinth is on the map is that it brought trade to the area, which meant that they were very well to do. And in situations where that you're dealing with people who are very financially set and where that everything's going well in life, it's hard to communicate to them. But then not only do we find that, we find is that there was trouble going on time and time again. But yet at the same time, Paul entered into this work, and I do not want to suggest tonight that it was easy. We learned from the context that it was not, and there must have been times, as I look at it from my mind, from my angle, there must have been times where that Paul would have thought, you know, it would be easy just to give up, but he did not. Why did Paul not give up in regard to the to what we find here? Paul, as we look in regard to the context, Paul is surrounded by individuals who are going to work with him. We understand from the context here is that God lined Paul up with some very devoted people. The context, as was read before us a few minutes ago, identified Aquila and Priscilla. This is a husband and wife. And from our reading a few minutes ago, you learn is that they were tent makers. This is how they made their living. And it's interesting as you read from what is stated here in Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through verse 5, concerning his relationship with this couple, is that God certainly has brought them into his life. They were Christians. I truly believe that they were members of the Lord's church. And in fact, we understand is that at one point they would have had a church in their home, and they were working in that a sense. And we understand is that in one sense they take Paul in. He lives with them during the time in which he is working with this couple. And how did they serve the Lord? They served the Lord very faithfully themselves. And they were not only serving God faithfully, but they were there to help the Apostle Paul, to encourage him along life's journey in his walk with Christ, but also, my friends, to encourage him as he was working diligently in the kingdom along the side of them. What type of people were they? They were people who had hands to work. This morning we talked about the Jews having a mind to work. These people, it is said that they had hands to work, they had a heart to work, and they opened their home in a very dedicated manner to the Apostle Paul so that he would be able to go out and work in the kingdom. But also I want to point out is that Paul is a tent maker, and therefore he works with them throughout the course of the day, that is, throughout the course of the week, but yet on the Sabbath he enters into the synagogue and preaches. Until, that is, Silas and Timothy come on the scene, as we understand from Acts chapter 17, verses 15 through 14 and 15, and 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 9, and whenever they come, they bring him financial support, which enables him now to work in the kingdom full time. And when we look at the Apostle Paul, we conclude, and rightfully so, is that he was a very devoted Christian himself. And we look at the Apostle Paul and remember the words that he said. He said that he was least of all the apostles, but yet he labored more abundantly than them all. He was a worker in the kingdom, I believe, like nobody else. And yet at the same time, as we look at him and we recognize all of his accomplishments, I want us to understand that he did not do these things alone. He was working with Aquila and Priscilla. He was also working with and through Silas and Timothy and many, many others in this context at Corinth and then in the broader context of Scripture as they took the good news to our Lord and Savior all throughout the world at that time. But my friends, also, as we think about the blessings and the curse that we find here in the context of Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through verse 22, Satan tried to shake Paul up by personal attacks. In regard to the matter, what we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9, and as you read and study from Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 22, I encourage you to also read from the context of 1 Corinthians and then also from 2 Corinthians, because there's a lot of detail that Paul even shares within those epistles that help us to understand some of the things that he faced continually in his work, but also in the establishment of and in the working with the saints at Corinth. Here's what he says, "For a great and effective door has been opened to me. There are many adversities." He was facing opposition from a number of different occasions, from a number of different angles and also people. And I'm reminded of where Paul was whenever he dealt with those in Thessalonica as well as in Berea. Whenever he worked with those in Thessalonica and in Berea, there were many of the Jews who came against him. They rejected the message. They didn't want anything really and truly at that time to do with God because they were clinging to Judaism. And you and I know that they shouldn't have been because Judaism had been nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ our Lord, Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. But yet at the same time, that's where these individuals were. And as you read and study as to the effect that that had upon Paul's ministry at Thessalonica and Berea, he left those works. But with Corinth, he did not allow that opposition to get in his way. But rather, what we find is that he knuckled down. And he said, if he would, I believe in his mind, is that he was not going to let these things keep him from doing the job that God had sent him to do at Corinth. And friends, certainly this is a part of why we find that he was successful in this great work. As you read from the context also of Acts chapter 18 and verse 6, you'll find is that the words or the terminology is given here to shake out one's garment and that their blood was upon their own head. In that context, to shake off the garment literally means that they had had their chance. And now, because of the fact that they were rejecting the message, because they were not obeying what God commanded them to do, their chance was no longer. And friends, also, as you look in regard to that context where he says that their blood is on them, that goes back to the Old Testament. If an individual was responsible for bringing death to an individual, the blood was upon that individual who had brought death. If an individual was responsible for conveying message, but yet at the same time that message was never delivered and someone died as a result of that, the blood came upon that individual who was responsible for the message. And in this context, Paul is saying to them, your blood, I'm not responsible for that. But it's because of the fact that you personally have rejected the message, now your blood is upon you. In other words, you'll stand before God, and you'll stand before God in that lost state or condition, and He assures them that He's going on unto those individuals who are going to receive the message. As we think with regard to the context here, God did not want him to be discouraged by those who were oppressing or those who were coming against him, even in these personal attacks. God wanted him to understand that he was going to give him promises, he was going to give him great assurance that he was going to be able to be successful in establishing a congregation at Corinth. As you look to what is found in Acts chapter 18, verses 19 through verse 17, there is a conversion of a man by the name of Crispus. And this man was a very prominent Jew. And as a result of this man's conversion, many doors of opportunity was open unto the Apostle Paul, as well as unto others who were working in the kingdom of our God. And what we find here with regard to this matter is Paul knew that he was speaking on the behalf of God, which in one sense represents the presence of God in and amongst him, as well as with those other workers. But my friends, also, Paul was not only working off of the presence of God with him, he was working off of the promises of God. I want to draw your attention to what is stated here in this context. God assures him with this statement in saying, I have many people in this city. Now, some people have looked at that, and it might possibly be the case. I'll say this, is that he was saying that there are other Christians here going to help you with all of this. And all, yet at the same time, what we know of, all that we know of, is Priscilla and Aquila and Silas and Timothy, and others certainly who are coming into Christ. I believe really and truly, more than likely what's going on here, is that he's saying, I have many others in this city, many others who are going to obey the gospel. That has led some in denominationalism to say is that this is Calvinistic doctrine. God chooses who's going to be His children and those who are not. And friends, that's not at all what is under consideration here, because you and I know the mind of God knows all things. And therefore, God was able to see what Paul was not able to see, is that whenever the word was sown, whenever the message was proclaimed, it would fall upon many good and honest ears, and hearts would be open, and souls would be won to Christ in there at Corinth. And what do we find? Certainly, the church of our Lord and Savior, the church of Christ, was established there at Corinth. And friends, what we understand as you move forward with this is that Paul continued proclaiming the will of God on a continual basis to the glory and honor of God's name. And with this matter, what is it that kept him moving forward? It was the will of God. This is mentioned in the context, is that he was working diligently for the will of God. And isn't that characteristic, reminiscent of what we find in some of the epistles that the Apostle Paul was responsible for? He oftentimes referred to himself as the Apostle Paul of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, or of God, by the will of God. You see, he understood as one being born out of due time, is that the reason that he was working in the kingdom is because God had this plan for him all along. And friends, what do we find? We find Paul laying aside his will on a continual basis for the sake of God's will. And where did he get that from? I believe that he got that from Jesus Christ, our Lord. Certainly, we know that his revelation, as he explained in Galatians chapter 1, verses 10 and following, came from above. And therefore, Jesus revealed those things to him. But what I'm saying, whenever I say that, where did he get this about God's will must be done? And no matter what you may think, God's will must go in front of your will. He got that from Jesus, because that's the way that Jesus operated during the time in which our Lord walked upon the face of this earth, during His personal ministry. And what do we find with regard to this matter? Paul continued to work there at Corinth for 18 months to establish them. And then he went on, according to the will of the Lord, to help other congregations. As you look to this missionary journey, you'll find is that he continually works even into the point of Antioch. And what I find as I read and study this from the angle, it's always too soon to quit, I believe that Paul, this was a message that he needed to learn in his life. I also believe that this was a message that he would have proclaimed to many others that he came in contact with, is that it's always too soon to quit. Never give up. My friends, tonight, I believe that there are some principles and lessons that we can draw away from this. Whenever we think about the idea, the fact that God does not want us to give up, that it's always too soon to quit, is that we need to identify and to connect with positive and productive saints, to always look for those who are engaged in their relationship with God, to look to individuals who are very happy about serving the Lord. And whenever we hang out with those individuals, if you would, whenever we connect with those type of people, whenever we identify those people and not only understand who they are in the church and that their life is surrounded by opportunity after opportunity to praise and to glorify God, when we connect with them, my friends, we will also then transform unto the image of our Lord and Savior. And we will be an individual then that others would look for and strive to connect with also. But my friends, as we lay this out from the context, as we've talked about it from Paul's perspective and things that he dealt with, we need to realize and to rebuke, and we even mentioned this morning, and I told Brother Bishop, I said the lesson tonight kind of goes hand in hand with this morning's. And we need to realize and to rebuke the devil's followers and his workers. And to let him know is that we're not gonna listen to the things that they're trying to do that would bring us down or try to bring the church down. And that we understand that they are an agent of Satan and they need to have their eyes, their heart open to that very end and to repent and to come back into a relationship with our God. But my friends, also, in order for us to never give up, we need to study and to meditate on God's promises and upon the path that He lays for us. Time and time again, the will of God is proclaimed in the Scripture. And whenever we look at, and you could just look at those passages alone, I'm going to say, and that will get you probably, I'm going to say, several months in your study, look into those passages about the will of our God. And what you're going to find as you study and meditate on those things is that God makes multiple promises surrounding His will. And He also identifies the path, the singular path that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the path that people must take in order to become a Christian, and the path that people must maintain to walk down as we serve the Lord in our Christian walk of life. My friends, also, tonight I believe that it's important as we look and close out this lesson and trying to draw the applications is that we embrace and walk in the Lord's will and His ways. We need to know that, and to embrace it means is that we're not going to turn loose of it. It means that we understand is that there's always things out there. Satan's always at work trying to get us to give up. And yet God is saying it's always too soon to quit. Why? Because this side of heaven, if we quit, heaven will not be our eternal reward. And therefore, we keep on keeping on. And in Christ, my friends, and with the continual cleansing of the blood of Christ, God has a reward prepared for us. That's His promise. And His promises are faithful and true. He has a reward prepared for us in heaven someday. If you're here tonight, and you're not a Christian, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to you that you might put Christ on in baptism this very hour. If you want to study, we would love to have the chance to study with you even further. If you're here tonight and maybe you're in that situation where you say, you know, I have given up, and yet at the same time, you're here, and that means a lot. You're here, and why not take advantage of the opportunity you have to return this very hour and then to restart, to recommit to the Lord. If you hear subject to the Lord's invitation at this time, please come as